a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's program. I think you're going to be empowered and inspired by our conversation today, and we welcome your phone calls when we reveal what our topic is. You know, we always love to speak with you. The numbers to reach us, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows and Praise, your inspiration station. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado, and today we are going to have an interesting discussion about, is it okay to live together before marriage? Ooh, 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 hot topic, I can tell you. Good morning, Marcos. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And good morning, Tiffany. And good morning to all our friends listening right now. And we hope and pray that the show will enrich, empower, and encourage you to have a great and amazing marriage together. Mm-hmm. Let's go to God in prayer as we usually do and just give it to God and allow God to move in our hearts and our minds and in our relationships. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful for another day, another opportunity, and for relationships, God. We thank you for marriage, and we thank you, Father, that you really do inspire us, God. You have such a way, Father, of giving us direction, God, sometimes even giving us discipline in our relationships, Father. But we thank you, God, and we ask that as we talk about, is it okay to live together, Father, I pray that we would truly be inspired and moved by your word, Father, to be able to trust you and do things your way, Father, because we know you are the creator, not just of the universe, Father, but of marriages, God. We love you, God. We thank you. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Tiffany, you know, this morning, based on Ephesians 5, verse 3, it says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Mm-hmm. So as we talk about, is it okay for you to live together before marriage? You know, we want to hear from you. There's different ways to communicate that. Some people call it shacking up. You know, some people are just saying, you know, we're just roommates. You know, we're okay. Or, you know what, we have no choice. You know, our bills, whatever the case may be. Some other people would say, perhaps, you know, we don't need a piece of paper to tell us that we're married. And so in our hearts, we're married. Or other people might even say, you know what, we're going to be taking such a big step. You know, marriage doesn't, you know, it's a scary step. So why don't we just try it out first? Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, let's see if that works, and then we'll make that step. Either way, is it okay?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know a lot of people are going to have things to say about that. Maybe you've had that experience, or just even an opinion on that. And we do welcome your phone calls, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Now, when you're talking about living together before marriage, let's get into what the Bible says first.
Absolutely.
And which scriptures do you have?
Oh, there's a ton of scriptures, and that's why Ephesians 5:3 was the first one that we would focus on here, because the Bible says not even a hint. You know, there are many times people who profess Christianity and they say, you know what, I don't care what people think. Well, the Bible says you should, because people are watching your life. They're looking and to see, okay, wait a minute, you're claiming Christianity, you're professing to have this faith. Well, I want to see that faith in action. Mm-hmm. So what's going on there? And so in this case, where it says not even a hint, is even if you try to say that nothing is happening behind closed doors, the fact that people would even think that, it just goes to show you that you're not, you know, submitting to God's will. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on and it says of sexual immorality. So it's not just a hint of anything, of sexual immorality, which is the same thing as fornication, mm-hmm. which is the same thing as premarital sex or mm-hmm. sex outside of the marriage bed. You know, mm-hmm. what God created was for a man and a woman to be able to spend and devote their lives together and just share that intimacy with each other. And so anytime you go outside of that, anytime you decide to, you know, have an affair or, you know, do it before marriage or anything like that, then it's immoral. It's not within God's plan. Mm-hmm. And it's not, Tiffany, it's not because God is saying, okay, we don't want you to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want you to, you know, really be fulfilled. Instead, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. And studies actually show, I have something really interesting here. A study was done a few years back by Rutgers University. And it actually says that there's a myth where couples who live together and thus are able to test out how well suited they are for each other have more satisfying and longer lasting marriages than couples who do not. And that's a myth. And what they found out is actually is that many studies, not just their studies, but they have found that those who lived together before marriage have less satisfying marriages and a considerable higher chance of eventually breaking up. One reason is that people who cohabit may be in the skittish of commitment and are more likely to quit when the problems arise. But in addition, the very fact of living together may lead to attitudes that make happy marriages more difficult. The findings of one recent study, for example, suggests that there may be less motivation for cohabiting partners to develop their conflict resolution and their support skills. And so this is not even a spiritual study. This was just a scientific study, and just to try to figure out here, you know, what are the benefits, if there are any. And for the most part, what they saw is that it doesn't work. So even the world realizes something is wrong here. Right. Now, something that God has been saying all along, they figure out, well, something is wrong here. And I believe it's because God in his infinite wisdom knows what works.
Right.
You know, another thing that I've seen personally is that there starts in later in the marriage, you start to see the lack of trust. Mm-hmm. You know, if two people are supposed to be Christians and they're supposed to trust God and live right for God, but they with each other, they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so it really is able to rise. You know, you kind of start thinking about that question. Wait a minute. If you weren't faithful to God when we were together, how do I know you're going to be faithful to God now after the marriage? Because you know, we were doing some things that weren't right, and we were saying we were Christians and we were going to church. Right. So you really got to go back and think about those things. Another scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 4, says marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Again, it says the marriage bed. So it doesn't say, you know, the before marriage bed or, you know, the almost married bed, but the marriage bed should be honored and kept pure even within marriage, because adultery and sexual morality, which go hand in hand, is anything that you're doing outside of God's realm and God's plan for marriage.
All right. So with that on topic, but slightly off the specifics of the topic, how do you feel personally? And what does the Bible speak on living arrangements with the opposite sex who are not dating? So, I have a roommate. He's a man. He's in one wing. I'm in the other. We go on about our business. We have no relationship other than we share this space due to money or whatever, especially if you live in high rent places like Los Angeles. I know a lot of people who live in L.A. because everything is so expensive. They have roommates that they really don't even communicate with.
Sure. And in the bigger cities, it tends to happen even more often. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Years ago, I'm sure many of us remember, there was a secular show,
Three's Company,
right? And the interesting thing about that show, and this was in the early 80s, is that even though nothing was actually happening, everyone always had the impression that there was. And so, you know, no matter what happened, they're like, oh, you live with these women, you know, and nothing happened. They never gave them the time of day for the most part. And, you know, it's one of those things where if you're in a situation like that and you're claiming to be a Christian, are people really going to be able to believe, wait a minute, nothing is happening? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if they know that's, you know, your brother, your sister, you know, your relative, then that's
different.
If
the person is gay.
Well, if the person is gay, that's another story.
but I mean, if that person is.
Well, that's what happened in Three's Company.
Well, then he had to assume that. He had to pretend.
And people still didn't believe it. And they were like, yeah, you really.
That's because they knew Jack. They knew Jack Tripper.
But here's the thing. You know, what we got to realize is that the Bible says not even a hint. So why be in that situation? I mean, when you're talking about a city of millions of people and just so, why do you have to actually choose someone of the opposite sex when you're claiming Christianity and you're saying, wait a minute, because the reality is if you are someone in the flesh, which, you know, whether we are Christians or not, we're going to struggle. The Bible says the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, meaning that if there's any chance that something can happen, I mean, you're really playing with temptation. You're playing with fire. In addition to that, it's going to be kind of hard for you to say, reach out to other people and say, look, come to church, study the Bible with me. I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh, yeah, but don't you live with that girl or you live with that guy? I mean, how Christian are you? And sometimes people won't even say it, but it comes out later in conversation. I've heard of many, many people that later on says, oh, look at this person. They claim Christianity, but they're hypocritical because of such and such and such. Mm-hmm. And so the hint of sexual immorality is very important because it doesn't even say here, you know, don't just do it. But even the assumption, even if people just get the vibe that something's going on, you know, in Jesus' life, and we're called to be imitators of Christ, you know, he was above reproach. I mean, people could not pinpoint and say, wait a minute, you are, you know, you're this, you're that. They called him a lot of things, but they could not say he was immoral or an adulterer in any way. And so it was because he was righteous. He was, I mean, his lifestyle, when people saw Jesus' lifestyle, even his interaction with women, it was pure. And people saw that right away.
All right. Awesome. Well, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call for your answer to the question. We've heard what the Bible had to say. What do you have to say? What is your experience? Give us a call. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Let's go to Sharon, who's calling in from Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing
morning.
Well.
That's great. I was on my way out the door, but I was in the bathroom because I keep you guys on all over my house, right? So
right.
I was like in the bathroom and I was getting ready, doing my hair, and I was like, oh, this is a good topic. I got a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 1980, when I met my husband, I did not know the Lord like I did. I didn't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to get together. You know, we had, you know, was fun all the time, and then we lived together for 4 years, and then after 4 years, within that 4 years, we had a son, and we got married after 4 years. Now we've been together 30 years now. We've been married almost 25. I don't understand about then whether or not you should have, you know, cause I didn't know the word. No one didn't really tell me, oh, you're not supposed to have this done first, and you're supposed to get married first. That's what the word said, and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't know about that, but thank God that this man and I has been in love and been together for all these years. And I said, you know what, Andrew, as soon as I start looking like, you know how you, old married couples be together, they start looking like each other, I said, then we might have to get a divorce. He just laughed at me. He just thinks I'm silly. But I had to comment on this morning. It's just been, you know, wonderful.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, you see, the difference is, and we appreciate this, Sharon, everything you're sharing there. It's when you don't know God, you think, you know, you use worldly wisdom. And you think, oh, this is okay. This is even beneficial in some ways. But when you look at it within the way that God describes and his plan, it starts making a lot of sense. I mean, really.
It does. It really does. Because I know the Lord now. You know, then I was young. I was like, just like you said, doing what the world does. My girlfriend lived with her boyfriend. You know, this one moved in with their boyfriend, blase, blase, back and forth. You know, it was like a trend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when one day you have a trend with your afro and the next day, oh, you just straighten it all the way out and have it a different style. So basically, that's what it was with me. But now when I read in the Word, I was like, oh, and I was like this here, oh, Lord, please forgive me, because I would go through the Word, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's really what I wasn't supposed to do that with anything in my life, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm just picking up more and more different things in God's words that I knew back then that I didn't know that I shouldn't have done.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Sharon,
you know,
we thank
but
you
I
so
know
much
the grace of God. I know he has forgave me for this because me and my husband are still in love and we still are together for 30 years. But thank you guys for this topic. I got to run and I know you guys got to go too.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? We do celebrate that. And we thank you so much for making the right decision, the right step, and correcting that situation and actually getting married. And we wish you many more years of a happy marriage together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so very much. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Marcos, let's go to line two where Juanita is waiting for us, calling in from North Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise. Juanita, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello, this is Juanita.
Yes. Hi, Juanita. What's your
good
comment?
Morning.
What's my comment?
Yes,
I've believe in waiting on God. You know, when you allow sin, you know, you just don't know where sin is. You don't know what you have to pray for sometimes. But you be looking to say, you know, I just need this man. I just need him. I need him. I need him. You know, you want to see if you are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Okay, so you're saying to wait on God.
My comment is, you know, sometimes you just need this person so bad, you know.
Okay. I'm sorry, Juanita, do you have your radio on? Can you turn your radio down, please?
I'm hearing myself on the radio at the same time.
Okay, we need you not to do that.
Okay.
All right, so we need to speak to you, and you need to listen to us via the phone and not via the radio because there is a delay. All right? And is that your comment for this morning?
It's just wait on God.
Wait on God.
Everything come compatible together.
Okay. Right. Well, we thank you so much, Juanita, and we hope that that you have a great and blessed day. And thank you so much for sharing that about waiting on God.
All right. Awesome, Juanita. Have a great day. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. So what do you have to say? Is it okay to live together before marriage? What is your experience? Call us and tell us what you think. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644.
Question for you, Tiffany. From a single's perspective, you know, you see a lot of marriages from where you sit, and you see the ones that are doing well, that are healthy, that are happy, and you see the ones that aren't. And then you also perhaps see a lot of your girlfriends who are perhaps making that step, heading in that direction towards marriage, or even yourself, as you think, wait a minute, you know, I want to make that next step. Is he the one? You know, how do you deal with the current culture where nowadays as a matter of fact, getting married, it's not the norm anymore. It's the exception. And so the norm is just to live together. Even when people don't actually live in the same house, they're always at each other's home. Mm-hmm. They have each other's home, you know, their house keys and, you know, just kind of that culture where it's like, you know, we're just going to do what we want to do. We're adults. You know, and then we'll still go to church, but we're not really going to follow everything the Bible says. But, you know, in our hearts, you know, we'll change from time to time. We'll try Christianity, but we're not really devoted to it wholeheartedly.
Right.
And so, you know, that culture is all around us. I mean, how do you deal with that?
You know what? I tend to be somebody who's really, really focused. So if I'm really focused on something and if I'm determined about something, it doesn't matter what else is going on. So
okay.
I'm not easily swayed when I'm determined. It's when I'm not determined, that's when it's like, well, let's see. So it does get to be difficult. I've not ever been one, I guess, because of the way I've been raised. My mom was like, don't give anybody a house key, basically, unless you have, you know, like I guess since I've been living in apartments, she's been very leery and just trying to give me some advice.
Sure.
And, you know, be aware of your neighbors, but you may or may not want to give your neighbors a house key. So I've not been one to give up the house key anyway. That's number one. So that's kind of not in the scenario. But having someone over all the time, staying all the time, that has been part of my previous experience. I guess when you're in love or you think you're in love and you want to spend so much time with the person and you have that time, especially in the evenings, and maybe not a lot of money. So it has been kind of very alluring to just say, well, come over and we'll just spend time. And if we fall asleep, whatever, great, just so we can spend time together. And it has been difficult, especially in the past. It has been difficult. Some things have been out of the question just because I'm like, I'm not doing that, period. And I think anybody who is determined about something, if you're determined not to go against God's word, or if you're determined not to have someone have access to your home all the time where you feel like you're living together, even though you're not, you know, like, okay,
Absolutely. That
person is always here, but they're not paying any bills. It's like, okay, that's kind of a crazy living together situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to go there, then you need to be going there and people are paying money or whatever the case may be. But that's an even more strange situation that can mess you up spiritually because you're like, well, where am I with this?
Sure.
But hopefully to answer your question, it can be difficult, but I've been pretty focused on some things that are just not going to happen.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm sure we have our lines lit up, and we have plenty of people who want to comment, have a lot to say. So let's go ahead and go to those phone lines right now.
Yes, indeed. And we definitely encourage Charlotte to call in. And we thank you and welcome you to the program this morning. Thank you so much for listening. Charlotte, your phone number is 1-877-995-7644. We will start in Philadelphia. North Philadelphia is our first stop on line one, where Stephanie is waiting. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
My aunt, my name is Stephanie. I'm calling from North Philadelphia.
Yes.
And my answer to that is wait on God. My pastor's been teaching a series on commitment, and if you're not committed to God, then there's no telling what you might do, because your flesh will never be saved. Now, our spirit is saved, and we have to renew our mind and, you know, and be renewed in our mind, but your flesh will never be saved. And I think that when you spend too much time, you're asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. If I'm with you all the time, you're with me all the time, then the flesh is going to want what the flesh wants.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think you're asking for trouble. I think what we need to do is be committed to God. We need to wait on God. People say that you never know the person until you live with them. Mm-hmm. That's not true. You need to get to know the person, and that doesn't mean spending the night with them spending the night with you. You spend time, you go to your house, and I go to my house. After we spend, some time together, get to know each other's ways, likes and dislikes and things like that. But I think when you spend too much time, late night, I'm falling asleep at your house, you're falling asleep at my house, that's asking for trouble, because the flesh wants what the flesh wants.
That is so true, that's Stephanie. True. And Stephanie, I have a question for you. When you talk about waiting on God.
Oh, wait. Okay, go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
That's okay. When you talk about waiting on God, what about if you want to wait on God, but...
Say that again?
The other person doesn't want
to. I'm sorry,
to wait
I'm driving. I have my Bluetooth in my ear, and I can't hardly hear you say it. Say that one more time.
All right, you might even want to roll up your windows. We can hear the cars going by.
Yeah, okay. I'll roll it right now.
Stephanie, as you said, waiting on God, and that's a great thing. But what about if your partner doesn't want to wait on God? What do you do?
Well, if your partner, if you're saying wait on God, if you're saying that you're a Christian or whatever, and you want to wait on God, and your partner doesn't want to wait on God, and just from my own personal experience, then that's not the person that you need to be with.
All right. Amen. Well, thank
you so
much.
Because the Bible talks about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers anyway. If you're two believers, if you really trust God and you really love God and you want to do the right thing, and I say to you, I'm going to wait on God. You know I'm a Christian, or we're Christians, and we need to wait on God. Well, I don't want to wait on God. Then you need to go somewhere else and be with somebody else. Because you don't even respect me enough to want what I want.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. Great, great advice, great input. We thank you so much.
Good
and
comments.
We pray that you continue to wait on God. God
All right. Thanks, Stephanie. We appreciate the call. Bye-bye. Let's go to line two for Sandra calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Good, good. Thank you so much. What's your comment?
Yes, my comment is I've been in the situation, and it is true. You need to pray. Pray hard, because most men that come in your life that persuade you and talk to you to move in and do stuff, they just up to see what your life is about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't come match up to theirs, then they don't need you. Mm-hmm. And another point, the men that I've been involved in are Christian. I have allowed them to move in my house. And because they couldn't get that upper hand over me to take over where I'm at, then they had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned through that, like the woman said, wait on God, pray and wait. And that's what I'm doing now. Some days get lonely, but I thank God for those days, because those days is teaching me how to be more of a person that needs to get in the Bible more, seriously.
Yeah.
And if you just stay, get into it, know where you need to be, and go with it, you'll be fine. And just keep praying, and God will take you through it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sandra. And we thank you so much for learning the lessons and waiting on God as well.
All right, Sandra, have a wonderful day. Thanks for calling.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We are talking about whether or not it's okay to live together before marriage. We look forward to your comments, and we'll continue with our conversation after this. And a very good morning. Welcome back to The Conversation. Today, we're talking about, is it okay to live together before marriage? Your marriage beyond the vows. Looking forward to hearing your take on this topic. 215-263-1039 and 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, we have our first caller on the line from Charlotte this morning. Willie is calling in on line one. Willie, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you much. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning.
Awesome. What's your comment?
I just want to comment on the question that was asked.
Yes.
You know, do we think people need to be living together before marriage? In saying we're representing Christ. And I think we all know that if you're saying you're representing Christ, you have to live a lifestyle that he lived. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you can't live that particular lifestyle because you are in sin.
Mm-hmm.
But once you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says you receive power to resist the devil.
That's right.
The only way we can resist him is by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. But when you're in sin, you do what the world do. But see, we're peculiar people. We're called out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't act like the world do. So I thank God for the speaker that y'all brought in this morning in teaching the word, because we really need men and women of God preaching and teaching line upon line, precept upon precept.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for that. And it's true. When you have the Spirit of God, you're able to resist that temptation and say no to unrighteousness and worldliness.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Willie, for calling in. We appreciate you listening and for your comments this morning.
Yeah, have a blessed day.
Yeah, you
right
too.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to line four, where Cynthia is waiting to be heard. Good morning, Cynthia. You're live on the air. Cynthia, good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank
you
so much for calling.
You're welcome. My comment is, a lot of us think women who are single will say, I need a man, I need a man, mm-hmm. I need a man. You don't need a man, especially if you're saved. You don't need a man. You need to pull closer to Jesus. It's that you want a man. And, you know, I was married for 18 and a half years. My husband threw me out for another woman. Mm. And after he threw me out, you know, everybody kept saying to me, you need a man, you need a man. And they said it to me so much until I began to believe that I needed a man. And I was already licensed and ordained evangelist. So I went out and found a man. Well, that was the thing that I did, because the Bible says it's a man that found us as wife.
Okay.
It doesn't say anything about a woman going out.
Cynthia, I'm sorry, Cynthia, you're having some phone trouble, so we're going to ask you to hold on. Hopefully you can clear that up so you can finish your comment. In the meantime, we're going to go to line five, where Tori is on the line. Mm-hmm. Good morning. You're live on the air. Tori, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing fine.
Oh, we're doing great.
Thank you.
Great. Yes, I wanted to call in a comment. It is so funny that you all are talking about this, because last night our young people got together and we were discussing the same thing at church.
Oh, great, great. So what did they say? I'm curious.
What we were talking about, we were talking about being single, and we were talking about dating. And one of the things that did come up was a discussion about living with someone if you are a believer and that person is an unbeliever.
Okay.
And maybe you just not being where you need to be, but you having the understanding of the word, you know what is right, what is wrong, and then that other person maybe not having the understanding. And my outlook on it is just that if you understand that God ordained certain things for marriage, and to me that one thing is living together. I don't believe that it is okay for a man and a woman to live together as husband, as wife, and to play that role if God has not set that foundation for your life yet. And being that I had been in that situation, I've lived with a man, while I was still struggling in my salvation, I knew it was wrong. And I ended up losing that person. They passed away. But God showed me, you know, you already knew from the beginning that the foundation wasn't correct. And so when I lost the person, you know, I was hurt about it, but I also understood that. And God told me, you know, I have to relay everything that you did because I was never in that from the beginning. The foundation was never correct. And I was giving an example to the young people how God showed me a tree when I was walking one day. And he showed me the roots of the tree. And he said, this was your foundation. Your roots were weak. Mm-hmm. And therefore, your tree failed, which basically was your house that you tried to build without me. Mm. And so he had to show me that your tree failed, but let me rebuild your foundation the way that I want to. So when I am ready for you to have a husband, your roots will be strong. The foundation is set, and it won't fall. But I think when we take upon ourselves to do things without the Lord, like living together with somebody, not in covenant relationship with the Lord, we can't expect to be blessed. We can't expect for the Lord to reign on that relationship at all.
That's true. But, you know, one thing I do want to comment there, Tori, is that sometimes people are blessed. Like sometimes people live together and things, you know, it's like it's they feel like they have the blessing of God. I mean, things are looking good in their relationship, financially, in so many ways they're blessed. But yet they're still not doing it God's way. The Bible says, you know, he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, and so I see what you're saying in terms of your relationship being blessed. It really depends how you define a blessing. If you define a blessing knowing that you're right in the eyes of God, yes. But if you're talking about blessings like just materially or, you know, possessions or just even how you would think that it's fulfilling, then you know, there are a lot of people right now who would argue that and say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm not doing everything God's way, but God must be pleased with me because he's blessing me.
Well, I think, and like I said, again, it goes back to what you all were saying earlier about if you wanted to witness to somebody, and the first thing they will look at is your lifestyle. So you say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and then, they find out that you're living with somebody, you're shacking with somebody. And to an unbeliever, somebody outward looking in, they're going to say, oh, well, that doesn't look right. You know, that doesn't make me think that you're trying to be a Christian, because even unbelievers recognize that most people know shacking is wrong, you know, whether they're saved or not. They know that shacking is wrong. So, I mean, I think that we just have to be conscious. And another thing that we were saying in the young people's meeting last night was that I also believe that, I mean, God is able to save the other person that maybe you were already with. You know, he is able to save that person.
Oh,
I just think that situations are different and it all depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that a lot of people get comfortable in that situation, and I don't believe that that is of God.
Okay, well, Tori, we thank you so much for sharing not only your thoughts, but even what some of the young people had to say. So we thank you so much for listening and for calling in.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Tori. Have a great day.
All right. You do the same.
All right.
And, you know, Tiffany, it's great. You know, we have so many different means of getting in contact with, you know, with us. You know, we have Facebook. And actually, before we go to the next caller, we actually have someone that just sent us some information through Facebook. And it says, I usually listen to your show every Saturday, but it's hard today because it's my anniversary. However, we've been separated for two years, and we have not yet had the final discussion as to where the future is heading. I tried taking this conversation, tried having this conversation a while back, so I would not go into another year like this. He said he would schedule a time to talk, but he has not. I don't understand why it is so hard to discuss this. At some point, we have to make it right or just move on. And, you know, please keep this confidential. Don't worry, we are not sharing this person. It's just anonymous. Yeah. And it says, by the way, we are both saved and go to the same church, which makes it even worse. Mm. And so I guess their comment is, you know what? They're on the opposite end of the spectrum. They're not living together, but it seems like people in their church think they are.
Yeah.
And so now it's, you know, the other extreme where now you want to keep that image of, oh, we are doing things right, but it's fallen apart. And you're perhaps too afraid or too embarrassed to be open and be honest. And my encouragement to you would be to this listener and anybody else in that situation, by the way, is make sure that you're honest, first with God, then with yourself, and then with others who can help you. In some of these situations, everybody doesn't have to know, but you definitely want to make sure that people who are equipped to help you are able to know, because it sounds like someone else has to intervene here as well and sit this, you know, this man, your husband down and say, wait a minute, what's going on? You can't just go to church, profess Christianity, go to the same church even, and not resolve this. This is just not right. And it's obvious that there's a lot more going on, and, you know, beneath the surface, but you got to be able to get resolved, get some help so that other people would be able to help you and steer you both in the right direction.
All right. Good stuff. And how can people find us on Facebook?
Well, you know what? Just type in Marriage Beyond the Vows as you do a little search there, and then just friend us. And once we're friends, we're connected, we can share information. Whenever we post something on our site, you will be able to see that as well, as well as even asking, you know, contacting us and asking questions or comments or even the other topics, future topics that you would like for us to discuss here on Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Absolutely.
And by the way, also, we have our two websites, the PraiseCharlotte.com if you're in the Charlotte area, and or PraiseCharlotte.com for all of you who are in the Philadelphia area as well.
All right, good stuff. Let's go back to the phones. Don't forget, you can always call 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We're going to line 3 for Renard in South Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Tiffany and Marcos. Y'all did it again. I said I wasn't going to call, but I had to drop this.
Bernard, all right, good. Tell us what you had to say this morning. I know you have something to say.
Yeah, I got a little something to say. Living together is sin, right?
Absolutely. If you're not married.
But can you be saved by grace? No question, correct?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, you know, that's actually an argument and a debate that a lot of people have, but bottom line is, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and then it starts very much from the top. It says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, and it goes down the list, and it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is just one scripture. There's more. There's Revelation 21, verse 8. I mean, there are so many other passages that actually talk about, you know, you can't have a relationship with God and live in sin. I was going to answer your question. You know, when you think about grace, is, you know, grace is, you know, a gift that you don't deserve. You know, you're receiving something you don't deserve, which salvation is actually, you know, it's the greatest gift of grace that we can have, because Jesus sacrificed his life so that we can be forgiven. But like any gift, you have to accept that gift. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a gift that you accept. It's on God's terms. Meaning that if someone were to come around today and say, you know, Bernard, I'm going to give you $1 million, but I don't want you to spend it on booze. I don't want you to spend it on wild living. You have to live a good life. So if you forfeit that, if you decide, okay, you take the $1 million and now you decide you want to just, you know, spend it however you want, you know, wait a minute, it's going to be taken away. And so the Bible does talk about being able to fall away in the book of Hebrews. It says turning from God. It actually even says that it's even worse to have that relationship with God and then turn your back on him. And so living in sin would be actually turning your back on God and the grace that he's given you.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Let me say this here. I'm a licensed ordained minister.
Okay.
My wife was an evangelist.
Okay.
If I would have lived with her, I wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in now. I never touched her before we got married, never lived with her. And I married her thinking because she's an evangelist, I'm a minister, that we're going to do what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And we failed. The only thing came out of my marriage that was good was my children.
Okay.
And I'm struggling, you know, trying to see them, got to go to court and in and out. You know what I mean? And I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to do that. People lying on me, talking about, because my son is doing well musically.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling other people he's just trying to get on the bandwagon because Michael is doing well. That's the most foolish and ridiculous statement I've ever heard. But mm-hmm. my point is this. All unrighteousness is sin, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And we're saved by grace, not by deed.
Mm-hmm.
So had I lived with my wife before we got married, I wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in, but therefore we have repentance. But God knows your heart. He knows what you sincerely want and what you're trying to do.
Well,
but it's a I'm sorry.
I want to hear this one more time. You're saying that you regret doing it the right way because it didn't work out, and you were hoping that perhaps if you would have lived together and done it the wrong way, that your life would have been better? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I listened to one of the earlier callers. The lady said she wasn't saved when she was living with her husband, husband-to-be. And, you know, they went on and got to know each other. I'm not saying that doing wrong is right, but I'm saying we're sinners by nature.
Absolutely.
There's no big sin and little sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody. So if I did that, I'm not trying to justify it. But all I'm saying is there's no sin beyond God's forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So in living with someone, I'm not telling anybody to do that. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in that I'm in now. You know what I mean? If I'd have lived with this with my wife and knew her better. You know what I mean? He said, don't enter into this union lightly.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Consider everything. And hey.
Well, I have a question for you.
What
if you didn't live together and you just really prayed and gave it more time? You think God would have revealed it then?
He revealed it to me over and over again. I just didn't see it as I look back. Even though we didn't live with each other, but I just thought because the Word of God says certain things, you know, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church that he gave himself for. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We both failed in that area. So, I'm just trying to say to you, Mark, that there's no big sin and little sin. All unrighteousness is sin.
Absolutely.
And we're sinners saved by grace. Once you accept the Lord as it really in your heart as your Lord and Savior, that don't mean you stop sinning.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But you know what? One thing, Bernard, I hear people say that a lot. You know, sin is sin, and it's true. In the eyes of God, it separates you from God.
Right.
Isaiah 59. But sin has different consequences, meaning that if you go out there and you commit adultery and your spouse finds out about it, then your marriage could be over. That's not the, you know, another sin might not have the same consequence. So, yes, sin is sin, but sin has different consequences. If you were to decide, okay, I'm just going to rob a bank. Okay, well, there's some consequences to that. And it's very different than, well, you just lied to your boss for coming late. Now, they're both sin in the eyes of God, and they're wrong, and you have to repent of them. But there's a huge difference between the outcome of doing one and committing the other. So I just want to say, Bernard, I appreciate what you're sharing. At the same time, we do have to understand that there are different consequences to the sins that we commit. And when we're talking about living together, you know, it's good for us to discuss, okay, what are the consequences of doing things your way instead of God's way?
Living together, Mark, is like, you know, why don't you just stay together till 12 o'clock, then go home and just find out as much as you can about your mate. But I want to say one more thing, and I'm out your way. The woman who was caught in adultery,
mm-hmm.
and was stoned or was supposedly would have been stoned. What did Christ tell her? Go and sin no more.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're forgiven, man. We're forgiven.
Absolutely.
Grace is all wrapped up in me. I mean, not that because my heart, I want to do right.
All right.
But my members is constantly desiring to do wrong. I know I'm going to heaven when I leave this side.
All right.
It's just that my mistake, man, and I'm not going to say it was a mistake, but because I'm a sinner, not by deed, but by being created.
Okay.
The fact that I did sin, I'm not saying I'll never sin again, but I know
absolutely.
I'm saved.
Okay.
That's my point.
Well, you got to keep repenting, and that's the thing.
So, absolutely.
Bernard, we thank you so much for this great conversation. I appreciate it. I hope you have a blessed day.
You likewise, and you too, Tiff.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. Have a wonderful one. All right, let's slide on over to Philadelphia, where Brenda is on the line. She is on line one. Good morning. You're live on the air. Brenda.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, do you hear us, Brenda?
Good morning. Hi. Do you hear me now? My name is Reverend Brenda Poole, and I just called a comment on the question for today. Should they live together before marriage? No doubt about it. Absolutely not. It just does not work. You have to see Christ first. You know, falling in love with Jesus, you have to fall in love with Jesus first, because falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone. It's better than women that are in the world and men that are in the world. Men seem to think that it's easy to grab a free woman. And then when you have women in the church, so many women, men tend to think that they're desperate, and then they play on them. But no, if you take time out to see Jesus first, let him be the one to find and choose the husband, you'll be better off. I know a lot of questions are coming in, and people have different comments. The pastor before seemed to me like he's very, very hurt. Mm-hmm. I've been married before, too, and very, very hurt. But I feel like this. When you get married, the Bible says, to death do you part. Never should there be a divorce. Never should there be being in a relationship, being living together before marriage. Try Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus is the only way. So whatever questions come up, you can't get around it. You must be married unto God first and then man second.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Brenda. We appreciate that. Great comment. And there is no way, for, you know, according to you, and we believe that as well, mm-hmm. there's no way, no compromise. You got to do it God's way. Thank you
Amen.
So much, Brenda.
I agree. Have a great day. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We'll return with the second hour of the program right after this.